Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest. And today, our guest is William Rodriguez. And William Rodriguez was there in the North Tower on September 11th. And he has an amazing story to tell. He was cited for heroism of certainly helping to get many people out of the North Tower. He's one of the last people to come out alive. But his story is so vitally important. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Finally, I make it to your show. We've been trying for the last year and a half, and I've been traveling all over the world, and we never had the opportunity till now. So it's my pleasure, my honor, and my privilege to be here finally with you.
Well, thank you so very much. Well, why don't you go ahead and you tell the story, because you can tell it far better than I can. You've been working there in the North Tower for some time, hadn't you?
Yeah, I worked there for 20 years. I was the janitor in charge of all the stairwells of the North Tower. And on 9/11, I was the person with the only master key that opened all the doors of the complex. There were five master keys, and the people with the other four were trained on egress, escape, and first aid, and they were Port Authority management employees, and they were the first one to run out of the building. So on 9/11, I just took up on the task of saving people floor by floor, and I was followed by the fire department as I did that. And at the very last moment, I brought down a person on a wheelchair to get first aid. As a doctor, you know that the persons that are handicapped are always left for the last to be rescued from a situation like that. So it will not impede the process of evacuation of everybody else. And when I brought him down to the lobby, the building started to collapse, and the only thing I saw was a fire truck right in front of the revolving doors. And I slipped right under the fire truck, and the building just collapsed right on top of me. And I was able to survive under the rubble. But I will take you through all the steps, but I just wanted to give you some information as well. We just did a press conference today at Ground Zero, all related to the latest news that they have seen, your listeners, all over the news this last week, that they found human remains in the area of Ground Zero. 5 years after the event, we found human remains in the area that was supposed to be cleaned, under manholes and under the street. And we've been saying from the very beginning that they did not do, we're talking about the city and the rescue effort, they did not do the right work on concealing the area as a crime scene, and bringing the experts on forensic investigation, criminal investigation right away. They concentrated so much into the cleanup effort that the rescue effort was secondary to what they were doing, because, you know, they just wanted to clear up and clean out the area. And right now that explains to you why more than 1,100 families have not received any fragments or any remains of their loved ones. And it's kind of sad that, you know, workers from the electrical company are the ones that found these human remains.
Well, of course, were these just remains, or these were these skeletons of people trapped underground in tunnels?
Correct.
And of course, what were the people doing down in those tunnels? Do we have any idea?
Well, the tunnels, they never checked them. They even put paved the way, and they put a street right under, right on top of the area, and just by an accident they found this. But this is the second accident that we have like that, because on the Deutsche Bank.
Hold that. I'll be back in just a moment here, William.
You got it.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is William Rodriguez, who was one of the last men, I guess he was the last man out of the North Tower. He had worked there for 20 years and in charge of, as janitor, in charge of the central core of the building, and he had the keys there. He was the only person with keys to the North Tower. There were four other people, and they all ran away to get away, and so he was there and went from floor to floor with the firefighters, helping to get people out who were trapped in there, and certainly was cited for bravery. But one of the important parts of his story is that he was down in one of the sub-basements before the plane hit. Would you tell us what you heard that time?
I was located on the basement of the North Tower. This is at 8:46 in the morning while I was talking to a supervisor. The building has six sub-levels, B1, B2, all the way down to B6. Those were the basements where they have all the support companies for the Port Authority. And while I was there talking to a supervisor, we heard a huge explosion so loud and so hard that it pushed us upwards. I mean, an indication that something just blew up between the B2 level and the B3 level. And at that moment, I thought right away that it was the mechanical room because we were right on top of the mechanical room.
And so the idea was that there was an explosion in the basement below you down there somewhere in the
before
basement.
Before the plane hit the building.
Before the
seconds
plane.
Seconds before.
All right. Now, of course, you eventually, didn't somebody then come running up from down below who'd been badly burned?
Yes, Mr. Felipe David, a guy that worked for Aramark, a company that did the supplies for the vending machines, who I did not know. He came running into the office screaming, explosion, 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 and his hands extended, and when I look at his skin, was all pulled out from under his armpits all the way to the top of the fingertips. And that poor man, when I realized that was his skin, and I finally look at his face, I realized that, you know, he was missing parts of his face as well. And there was this huge explosion, he said, and he put his hands to cover his face when this ball of fire came in, and that's why his skin was practically pulled. And I started screaming, and everybody started screaming in there, and I said, don't move. I was going to pick up the phone to call the EMS service that was located on the South Tower. And when I went to pick up the phone, another explosion and another impact, and this was an explosion and an impact, and it was just an indication that the tower was just hit by the plane.
In other words,
two different events.
What was the time period between the explosion?
Six, seven seconds after this guy came in.
All right, so there was a six or seven second delay between the explosion in the basement and the time that the plane hit the tower.
That is correct.
All right, Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Rodriguez, and we're talking about, of course, what happened in the North Tower. And so he has told us that he was in the first level of the six-segment basement, and they felt this massive explosion below them. Some man rushed up who had been below, and, of course, he's got terrible burns on him. There's been a terrible fiery explosion down in the sub-basement, and then the plane hits the up above. So there's about a 6 second delay between the explosion and the time that the plane hits above. And of course, then the man runs in after that. Now, did you testify before the 911 commission about this?
That is correct. I went to the 911 commission. I was one of the last person to testify. I was right under the investigation, part of the investigation. The 9/11 Commission exists because I was one of the persons that went directly to the to Congress once I was recognized as a national hero, and I asked them to create this commission. And you may remember that the president said, we don't need an investigation because we know who did it. So we pressed more because it was the wrong thing to say to us. And after we started to ask for the investigation, I was one of the last person to testify, and what a surprise. They finally come out with the final report, and my testimony and the testimony of 27 people that I made them available to the commission were never included. We were totally omitted. We became non-entity, and they came out with an official story that did not it did not agree with what we went through.
And, of course, the thing is, it was a cover-up, and they sealed the testimony of almost 1,100 people for 30 or, I don't know, how many years did they seal it, 30 or 50 years?
30 years.
So the last thing they want is for the American people to know what really happened on September 11th. Now, why would you hold the commission and then, of course, not allow the testimony of Mr. Rodriguez and other people who were actually there to be made available to the public? Or even if you didn't have them testify in public, why didn't you include it in the report? And it was because the last thing they want is for anybody to realize there were explosions in the basement before the plane actually hit up above. What do you have any idea what actually happened? Does anybody really know? We've heard all sorts of story about molten metal down in the basement there that had to come from something, an explosion or something of tremendous heat. What do you know about that?
Well, actually, remember, I'm not an expert on explosives. I am actually a survivor. But my position of telling them exactly what happened is actually what gives the experts all the indication and information that they need to come out with the right answers. I don't know what was there because, again, it sounded like a bomb, it smelled like a bomb, and it just created the damage like a bomb. So, you know, but again, I'm not saying it's a bomb because I'm not an expert on explosives. Yeah. But I tell you something, it was bad, it was huge, it was loud, and many people got injured, and they survived, and these people were never called.
I see. Whatever happened to this gentleman that you described?
He's alive.
He is alive.
He was 13 weeks in a coma. He came out of the coma. He saw me on television. He called the doctors and said, that's the guy that saved me. And that's how they did the reunion for TV.
And, of course, as far as he was concerned, was he ever called to testify about this explosion in the basement?
Never.
And, of course, you wonder why they wouldn't want to get that information out unless this whole thing is a cover-up to keep the American people from knowing that there are many other things happened that day besides what we saw, the plane hitting the North Tower and then again the South Tower. Well, now, of course, you've been traveling around the world telling your story over and over again, haven't you?
Yes, all over the world. Bringing the truth, because we as victims, survivors, and those affected by 9/11, we are sick in our stomachs and in our hearts that the government have used our tragedy, our despair, and our problems for a political agenda that did not have anything to do with this war on terror that he has created.
Well, of course, immediately after the buildings were down, the government immediately began giving massive amounts of money to all the families of all the survivors. Some of them got, you know, almost $1 million. Some of them got a great deal more than $1 million.
$1.7 to $3.2 million.
What did they have to agree to?
Those were the families that lost somebody. For example, I did not receive any compensation whatsoever. As a matter of fact, as a leader of the victims and as one of the biggest activists on the 9/11 community, I was homeless last year. Homeless. I was not getting any kind of help. And it was because NBC Telemundo went to the place where I was sleeping. I was sleeping under a bridge, doctor. And they created this huge amount of attention. They put it on next day on TV. A national hero, homeless. And it was kind of an embarrassment that even the governor of New York got involved to try to see what was happening with my situation. So that tells you a lot, that they didn't want the families to be the ones practically bringing this question over. And they created the Federal Compensation Fund, which is a fund that, you know, if you receive the money or you agree to receive the money, you will have to forfeit your right to sue the government, the Port Authority, the airline industry, the construction companies that created the World Trade Center. Basically, it's a gag order or an exchange. It's a black economic blackmail. So you won't do anything against what is established by them.
Well, that's what exactly happened. Were there any restrictions placed upon what the members of the families of the victims could say, though? In other words, could they still speak out, or did they have to...
Oh, they can't speak out. They can't speak out, but they cannot sue.
All right, fine. And, of course, have you been in touch with the Jersey girls, Kristen Breitweiser, Mindy Kleinberg, those others?
I mean, with Monica Gabriel, actually.
Right. So basically, of course, I know you probably have met all of the various people that, you know, were initially very active trying to get to the bottom of what really happened. But then as time goes by, most of the people sort of want to get on with their lives, and yet we have to find out what really happened that day because there's so many unanswered questions.
That is correct.
Well, of course, you've been working with Jimmy Walter. And Jimmy, would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about Jimmy Walter? He is an
Well, I was working with him. I don't work with Jimmy anymore. I left the organization because he took a stand that there was no planes, that the planes were faked by TV, and it's something that I did not agree with. I wish him the best, but, you know, it's something that I could not go for in terms of what I represent for the families. But I wish him the best, and he's a guy that has put more than $6 million of his personal fortune to try to get an investigation reopened of what really happened on that day.
Because he told me he had had a number of threats and harassment because of what he was trying to accomplish. Is that true?
That is so true, and he's not the only one. I got the same kind of threats, and my apartment got broken into 2 weeks after his apartment. Out of this country, he was in Austria. His apartment was broken into as well. And so, you know, it's kind of a message like, you know, either keep quiet or don't mess up the waters. We've been on the forefront of all these investigations, and of course that makes us a target for the government.
And of course the thing is there is so much misinformation and disinformation put out, and, you know, were there any planes at all, you know, and I, you know,
right.
I believe that there were planes that
right.
came there, but there's a planned program to confuse people.
Yes, and the 9/11 movement is like anything else. It's totally infiltrated by government spies, like I call them, infiltrated by crazy people, but also infiltrated by the most wonderful, intelligent intellectuals that know exactly what they're talking about, and they are not getting the right, or probably they're being accused constantly of being conspiracy theorists, which is the wrong thing to say to these people.
Well, I mean, after all, I mean, I certainly, there's a David Ray Griffin, I think is his name, is a professor,
great, yeah.
And he talks about the fact that there are all sorts of conspiracy theories. One conspiracy theory is the government's conspiracy theory that says that 19, you know, Muslims conspired to hijack the planes and crash into the building. It's a conspiracy theory.
Correct.
And there are other conspiracy theories out there that the government knew what was going to happen and didn't try to stop it. And the question is, who is behind all the effort to harass people who question the official conspiracy theory?
And not only that, remember, now that the president has those supreme powers now, because he can make anybody on the 9/11 movement be an enemy of the state, because basically, with this elimination of the habeas corpus, we become targets as well because we are activists.
Well, I think that a lot of people out there think if they just keep their mouths shut, that nothing's going to happen to them. But they don't understand that when freedom fails, by good men rot in filthy jails, and those who cry peace appease are often hanged by those they hope to please. So I admire you for everything you're doing and trying to get the information out. And certainly, you know, when you were in the lobby there of the North Tower, there's a question, was there some sort of an explosion in the lobby of the North Tower?
It came from the basement, remember. A lot of people, I have two people that were not totally burned, but badly burned as well. And they said on camera that the fire came from the elevators and it came from the bottom. And if they recall what happened on that day correctly, because it just goes with what I saw, the elevator doors were open from the bottom up, another indication that something happened from the basement all the way up, and that's how they got burned.
And, of course, what we've been told is, of course, that somehow or other the jet fuel got into the very center of the building, and then it got somehow into the elevator shafts.
That's what they said, but the incredible thing is that the elevator operator of the 58 car, the central car, he's alive. He broke both ankles when the elevator fell down, but he should have been I'm burned to a crisp.
I know, Chris. Well, they had to come up with an explanation for the explosion in the lobby, so they said the jet fuel went down, I don't know, 50, 75 floors, and that's what happened. And, of course, the people who are there say, no, the explosion came up from the basement, but they don't want the American people to know that. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. William Rodriguez, who, of course, was the last man out of the North Tower, and an awful lot of people perished in that building, and an awful lot of firefighters perished in the building, and, you know, of course, the thing is that they should have gotten them out of there a lot earlier, but why didn't they get the firefighters out of the North Building out earlier? Do we have any idea?
No, I remember the radios did not work well for the fire department. While people were called to evacuate the building, we're talking about policemen, the same call for evacuation never got to the fire department because their radios were failing constantly. So what you have here is just a total disorientation on that day. So, you know, it's just so many bad experiences from every side. We're talking about the experience from the firefighters, the policemen, and the victims as well.
But, of course, after the South Tower came down, I would think that they would have suspected the North Tower was going to come down, and they would have evacuated everybody they could. Now, they couldn't get the people out of the top of the building.
Well, they say they called. They called, but we never got the radio signals. That's the problem.
There was just no way to get to the upper part. What was it? Was it the walkways were actually?
No, the upper part were always locked because that was the area where they had the transmission equipment for almost every television channel in New York. So the only way to get there was with an access card that I have and a special key. And not everybody have that. Only the technicians that work for the different television stations that have access to that.
But what about, I mean, certainly, how many floors were above the level of the attack? Wasn't there any way those people could get down? Or were the stairways blocked? Or what was it they were keeping?
Yeah, many of the stairwells were blocked. Apparently, supposedly, by the impact that created... remember, this one of the problems from the World Trade Center as well was that it was a hazard. The building did not have the correct fireproofing. For example, the stairwells, the walls were not totally, there's something called codification. The Port Authority built the World Trade Center and they did not need to have compliance with the state codification system. So what you have here is that, you know, you have sheetrock dividing the stairwells from the actual floors. Really, really bad.
So do you think that there really was then a defect as far as the construction was concerned?
Oh, the construction was bad, really bad.
All right. Well, now, of course, we're told, of course, that certainly that the reason that the building gave way was because there was such an intense fire up there at the level of the impact that, of course, it was beginning to melt the steel, and the steel began to fail. From what you know, and at least from talking to people and the communication with the fire department, was the fire that intense just before the building collapsed?
Well, they have pockets of fire. On the top, we supposedly was not that intense as people may believe, because you will remember that you have that famous picture of a lady screaming for help from the actual area of the impact. And if it was that intense, that lady would have been dead automatically. She would have been practically in flames. And she wasn't. She was screaming for help.
And so sometimes you begin to wonder how much of what we've been told is true and how much of it has been contrived to conceal and to confuse us about what really transpired that day. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. William Rodriguez. And, of course, he was the last man out of the North Tower. Now, do you have a website or anything that you'd like to talk to our listeners about?
Yes, I have a website where I'm actually putting most of the information that has come in now. It's still under construction, but people can actually go there. It's www.911keymaster.com.
911 Keymaster.com.
Correct.
And that was because you were the only person that had the key there that was getting the people in and out, you know, get the people. How far did you get up, you know, were you able to get up in the North Tower that day?
I'm sorry, repeat the question?
No, I'm just, how far up in the North Tower did you get that day?
Up to the 39th floor.
I see.
And on the 39th floor, the South Tower got hit, and that's when I said, we got to get out. The policeman told me, we got to get out, and I said, we got to go up. And he told me, no, you've done enough, but you don't get paid for this, so better if you get out now. And give me a hand with the person on the wheelchair. And that's when I went down and I got the person that was on a wheelchair and I brought him down to the lobby while the building was collapsing, talking about the South Tower, the first one. And as I get to the floor, I'm told by the fire department to get an ambulance ready, and that's when I saw the whole destruction on the lobby. And when I get to the front of the building, everything started to shake, and the only thing I saw was a fire truck. And I get screams by the police saying, don't look back, don't look back, please don't look back. And that's when I slid right under the truck when I saw the bodies of all the people that jumped out of the building.
Well, that must have really been a terribly difficult situation for everybody who was there. And certainly, you know, as the first building came down and then the second building came down. But the problem was, as you saw those buildings come down, they were falling at the rate of gravity. And, of course, I know you're not a construction engineer, and neither am I, but the people, you know, who really are engineers say, look, even if it was pancaking, as we were told, there would be resistance at every single floor before the bolts
Correct.
And things would give way, and so that it would not fall at that rate. And the same thing, of course, happened with building number 7.
Correct.
And, of course, you probably talked to a lot more of the experts on this than I have.
From all over the world, and they still cannot believe the official story. So they say, you know, how can you come out with, well, they have something called the NIST, which is the National Institute of Safety and Technology, that received $30 million from the government to do a study. And to this day, they're still complaining that was not enough. And, of course, their findings were that the building came down because of the jet fuel and the impact of the plane. And something that not even the actual the designers of the building agree with.
Well, Chris, my understanding is, though, that this extensive $30 million report still can't explain why Building 7 came down. Did they address that issue at all in the report?
No. And they have been asked publicly about it, and they say they don't know exactly what happened, and that they will come out with a new study about it.
And so here, 5 years after the collapse, they still don't know why Building 7 came down, and I think that is the wink leak in the entire story. Because, of course, maybe, I'm not an engineer, and, you know, maybe what they're saying about the Twin Towers is true. But having seen repeated views of that building number 7, which was a block and a half away, a 46-story building, you know, and you watch that and you begin to see the roof begin to cave in the middle, which is always happens with a controlled demolition, and they do that so that the walls won't fall outward, they fall inward, and then the building came down as the base of the building collapsed and nothing hit that building, and they have no explanation for why it came down, and I think that is probably the weakest point in the government's conspiracy theory. What do you think of that, Mr. Rodriguez?
I agree with you 100%, and it's sad that people don't investigate. They have taken the government official story as the last word, which is not true. You have to do what is right and do your own investigation. And once you realize that things doesn't, you don't have to be an expert on physics or building construction to understand that, you know, those towers fell down in a very strange way.
And, of course, Building 7 came down in its own shadow, and you can go up on the Internet and just Google in Building 7 videos, and there are a number of sites, and you can watch it come down again and again and again. That is a controlled demolition. There is no question it's a controlled demolition. And if they hadn't been so greedy and so intent upon, you know, just showing that they could get away with anything, if they hadn't taken Building 7 down, they might have even gotten away with it. But, of course, you watch that come down, anybody can see it. And I think anybody who watches that building comes down knows that this is a controlled demolition. We're going to be right back here in just a moment. with Mr. William Rodriguez when we get back. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Mr. Rodriguez is our guest. Now, as you talk to people in other countries, is there a lot of interest in this story and what happened? I mean, here in America, why? The government keeps saying anybody who believes, doesn't believe what we're telling you, you know, believes in a conspiracy theory, and of course they probably believe that the Mossad was behind it, or it was a Jewish conspiracy, and they demonize and they attack people, and poor Professor Stephen Jones, a professor back at Brigham Young University, a physicist who looked at what had happened and said, this is not what happened. I mean, there's just no way those building twin towers could have come down as they did, and he's given talks on it. And he's been put administrative leave, forced to retire. I've talked to other people who've lost their jobs and come under tremendous pressure because they questioned the official government conspiracy theory. But what do people in other countries think as you talk to them, William?
I've been all over the world bringing this kind of information, and you will be surprised, Doctor, that they are so much more informed than our people here in the United States. And they say, you know, we've been doing our own work, our own research. We have our own correspondents in your country. And, you know, we just don't take CNN as the last word. We do the investigation. And in reality, we are so busy here. We live in a such a rush life that we take everything that we get on TV as the last word, and in reality, it's not true. And let me just remind you that Dr. Stephen Jones was given early retirement. He just took the early retirement because, you know, his position on 9/11. So there's a lot of pressure from anybody that comes out and questions the official story. And they figure that, you know, the best way to do it is just to attack these people. And it's not right, you know. And again, I want to give my website so anybody wants to go and check some of the latest stuff that we are doing. It's 911keymaster.com.
All right, do you sell any videos or anything there?
Yes, I have. Actually, I sustain myself. But remember, I became non-employable because of the work of as an activist that I'm doing. And remember, I was even homeless, like I said before. And the only way I can sustain myself is just with the video of my whole story. And I saw one picture reproduction of the towers that I took the day before, and they can find everything there. And, you know, this is what I do to bring this information all over the world. And the good thing is that, you know, you can see there that the work is being done. It's not, you know, that we are talking about it. We're actually doing something about it.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. William Rodriguez. He was the last man out of the North Tower, and he was cited many times for bravery and for all the people whose lives he'd saved. The website is www.911keymaster.com. That's www.911keymaster.com. And, of course, he has a video and other things there where he tells the story. And now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And right now, let's go to Steve from Wisconsin. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Real fine, gentlemen. I'm sorry, I just tuned in about 2 minutes ago, and I know you're talking about 9/11, and I have a sort of a general question that I'd like to ask, and maybe your guest can comment on it, and you can also comment on it too, Dr. Stan. Now, I think most Americans out there, the very thought that 9/11 was an inside job, most Americans cannot wrap their mind around that. It's too abhorrent of a thought that 9/11 would be an inside job. Would you guys agree with me on that?
Yes, 100%. On my side, I found them to be very disbelievable of any kind of action against their own people. Yes, I do. I agree. And that is a very valid question. Thank you for that.
But of course, I think it's very difficult to accept. But sometimes you have to look at the evidence and come up with a conclusion. And as you know, Steve, I've been at this for a long time. I mean, I was on the front lines of the battle to try to address the AIDS epidemic as a public health issue. And we could have stopped the AIDS epidemic right back in 1986 when we had the blood test available. We did not. A 500,000 Americans have died. Another million are infected and will die. And throughout the world, maybe 30 million people are infected. Another 50 or 60 million are, 30 million have died. Another 60 million are infected and will die. And when you realize it's all unnecessary, why, then you can begin to understand we really are up against evil. So it took me a long time to finally acknowledge the fact that I always thought that people were making mistakes. But, of course, they don't make mistakes. They know exactly what they're doing. So you're absolutely right. It's very difficult for people to look at the evidence because you don't want to admit it. But the truth of the matter is we have to accept the truth. And whether we like it or not, we have to lead where that truth leads us. So do you have anything else you want to say, Steve?
Yes, I do. And the thing that somewhat puzzles me on the whole thing, and that is we got to the two different theories out there. First theory is 9/11 was an inside job. Based on what we're saying, it was orchestrated by our own government. The second theory is that Al-Qaeda was responsible for it. Now, the thing that I don't quite understand, and that is if it was an inside job, and I'm not saying it wasn't, I'm just saying if it was an inside job, to shock the American people 10 times more than what they were shocked, have the bombs in both buildings going off simultaneously, bringing both towers down, probably killing 50, 60,000 people. If it was the bombs that took both the buildings down, then why did they need the airplanes? That's the part that puzzles me.
Yes, let me explain something. What I believe is that they wanted the towers to totally collapse right away, and that's why the explosion on the basement. Remember the 93 bombing? They put a van full of explosives, but they put it on the wrong core sustaining wall. If they did it on the right wall, the building would have, tilted. So what I believe was that they did not synchronize the explosion with the plane impact as well. And what they wanted to do is that if the towers actually fell sideways, remember, if you take the World Trade Center and you put it sideways, it goes down up to Canal Street. You know the amount of people that would have been killed? Mm-hmm. I mean, a huge amount that, you know, we don't even know what kind of creation of shock it would have created on the world. So why? Well, you know, that's what we're trying to find out in terms of why they did it, why it fell in the terms of the explosion, the initial explosion itself. You know, why it wasn't synchronized. What went wrong? And I believe a lot of things went wrong.
I think that's absolutely true. I think, Steve, that they had to have the plane crash into the buildings because that had to be the explanation. They could and figured that if they could sell the American people the planes kept, the fuel softened the metal, and then, of course, we had the pancaking effect as the buildings collapsed. We would accept it was all related to Al-Qaeda and those 19 wicked hijackers who had come into America and were able, of course, to circumvent all of our normal military fighter planes that ordinarily would be guarding that area. What they have withheld from the American people is the fact there were military exercises that morning
right. That
simulated a hijacking of planes. And what most people do not know
right. Is
that after Flight 11, American Flight 11, hit the North Tower, and after, of course, the building was on flames and people were jumping out of the windows, why, on the television screens, at both the FAA and at NORAD headquarters in New England, why they were tracking the flight of Flight 11 right towards Washington, D.C. Now, I'm not saying the plane didn't crash into the building and wasn't destroyed, but somebody was simulating the transponder from Flight 11. That's all covered in a great story. It's in Vanity Fair magazine. Isn't it terrible we have to go to Vanity Fair magazine to find out what happened? But somebody actually went and talked to the commander of NORAD who was there that morning, and there were sometimes as many as 26 hijacked planes that morning with false images put onto the television screens. Now, I don't really think that that was done by the 19 hijackers, and I don't think it was done by Osama bin Laden. I think the only people who were capable of doing that was somebody in our intelligence agencies. We have 14 intelligence agencies, and nobody knows what they all do.
They all fail on 9/11. One of the problems that families and survivors have been confronting all this time was that, you know, how the most powerful nation in the world on 9/11, every single agency, every single one failed.
Amen.
Everyone. On the state level, federal level, military level, every single one. Nothing worked.
And, of course, the most amazing thing in that the Vanity Fair article, Steve, is that basically the commander at NORAD immediately gave orders for the planes at Otis Air Force Base to fly to Washington, pardon me, to New York City at full speed. And they did. They were flying at full speed, you know, and, of course, they didn't get there, you know, before the second plane hit. But then he immediately asked the planes at Langley. Now, Langley is about 100 miles away from Washington, D.C. Andrews Air Force Base, about a mile away from Washington, D.C., on the other side of the Potomac River, didn't have any fighter planes. But there were fighter planes at Langley. There were two of them. So he asked for them to immediately be put up in the air, and the commander refused to put them in the air. And he said, we need planes over Washington, D.C. to guard Washington, D.C. Oh, we couldn't do that. Later on, the commander said, was asked why he didn't put them in the air, and his explanation was, well, I was afraid they'd run out of gas. And you talk to a fighter pilot, as I have, and they said, look, if you're up there, you're just going to get low on fuel. You put in a call. There are tanker planes constantly flying over our nation, and at any time they'll come down and just fill you up again, and you keep right on flying. So, but the second thing was the planes from Langley, when they finally were mobilized, instead of flying directly to Washington, D.C. at supersonic speed, they were sent out over the Atlantic Ocean. Now, remember, Langley is 100 miles away from Washington, D.C. And, of course, what happened was that they fly out over the Atlantic Ocean. They're not allowed to fly at supersonic speed. And at the time that the plane or whatever hit the Pentagon, they were 156 miles away from Washington, D.C. And they started out 100 miles from Washington, D.C., and something's very strange. And nobody has ever explained why that happened.
Right.
Anything else, Steve?
Well, I got one last question, and I'll hang up to hear the answer. And I'd like to pose the question to both of you gentlemen. The flight over Pennsylvania, did it crash, or was it shot down by our own military? I'll hang up and listen to the answer, gentlemen.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on that at all, William?
I actually won't talk about that since I have to be the expert on the towers itself.
I think that's a wise thing to say, and my response is, I don't know. And I think that we just, one of these days we'll know the truth, but there are many strange things that are going on. That's all we can say. Well, let's go ahead and talk to Ron from Arizona. Hi, Ron. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. For Mr. Rodriguez, must have missed what the commission, 9/11 commission, said about the explosions. You testified that you heard explosions.
They did not mention it at all. They didn't even investigate the allegations. My name doesn't appear at all, nowhere in the 576 pages of the 9/11 commission report. And the people that we made available, of the 27 people, they were never called, not even one of them.
And I think you have to understand, Ron, the purpose of the 9/11 Commission was not to reveal, but to conceal the truth. If you don't know whether you understand the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission control of our government, but if you look at that commission, Thomas Keene, the chairman of the commission, belonged to the Council on Foreign Relations. Lee Hamilton, the vice chairman, belonged to the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. Jamie Gorlick and John Layman both came from the CFR. There was one man on the commission, Senator Max Cleland, who wanted to get to the bottom of it, so they threw him off the commission, and they put on a man named Senator Bob Kerry, who came from the Council on Foreign Relations. So five of the 10 commission members came from this one little group of elitists, and then the man who was really ran it, Philip Silicon, came from the Council on Foreign Relations, was a personal friend of Condoleezza Rice, and do we really expect that he is going to try to get to the bottom of what happened that day? Because you're talking about criminal activity. 3,000 or almost 3,000 Americans died that day, and you want an impartial examination. The purpose of the commission was not to get to the bottom of it. It was to conceal what happened that day. If they'd wanted an impartial evaluation, they never would have had the people on that commission they did, because they were all tied into one or another aspect of the government.
Right. I'm familiar with that, Dr. Stan. I listen to your program every day. Secondly, what I wanted to know, has anyone ever questioned anyone in the government about the explosion, and has anyone in the government ever said anything about the explosions in the towers?
All right. So you're talking about the explosion in the basement or the explosions up higher?
Well, the basement or up higher. Has anyone in the government ever been questioned that, and has anyone in the government ever said anything about that?
Well,
yes and no. Yes, in the sense that we have been publicly talking about this all over. I mean, nonstop, and there have been answers by certain government officials. But official answers, no. What they said, and they don't talk about the explosions itself, or that, you know, there was events happening of huge bangs in the building. All they talk about is that it was the fire that brought the towers down, the fuel, and that's it. They don't officially recognize the explosion itself.
I think, Ron, what you have to realize is what they do is they talk about all the non-issues. If you read the 911 Commission report and the book that was written by Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton, it's called Without Precedent. They will tell you that they were very suspicious of the military officers who testified, and their timeline was off. And they were even thinking of putting them in for charges of perjury for giving the wrong timeline, and that's a non-issue. The real issue was, what about the military exercises that morning? They were simulating the hijacking of planes, so they didn't talk about the important issue. They talk about all the unimportant issues and the conflict, you know, did Condoleezza Rice get a briefing from George Tenet, or didn't she, you know, and did George Tenet try to awaken people to the danger, or didn't he? And so the head of the FBI said he kept trying to tell the Attorney General John Ashcroft about the terrible threat of terrorism, and John Ashcroft said he was never informed about the danger, and he kept them arguing back and forth, and it's all planned confusion. Once you understand that, then, of course, you're not going to be confused. Anything else, Ron?
Well, isn't it true that in the 9/11 official commission report that WTC-7 was not even mentioned?
Not even mentioned. Of course,
the nail in the coffin right there, that the whole thing's a cover-up.
You're right.
Not even mention a building, 47-story building that collapsed.
Well, of course, the thing is, the last thing they want is to let people know about it. If they don't talk about it, maybe it'll go away. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
God bless. And let's go to Mike calling from of all places, Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question?
Yeah, Santa Cruz. Well, for the question about anybody higher up in government talking about explosions, George Bush actually came out with something. It's in an article on September 15th this year, where he actually acknowledged something to the effect of the terrorists using explosives in the upper parts of the towers to kill as many people as they could. It was a very nonsensical statement.
He didn't talk about the towers. He said buildings. So
it was vague and nonsensical as usual.
All right.
But I think that what the feeling I got from it was simply that they were trying to acknowledge that there was something going on without acknowledging that there was something going on.
Well, I think what they're
He's 5 years after.
Yeah.
And the amount of information and the amount of pressure of international media asking these questions. I mean, on 9/11 this year for the anniversary, just to give you an idea, I reached 500 million viewers around the world, and that was just in one day. And that was mind-boggling for me. But imagine the press from all over the world asking these same questions. You got Hugo Chavez coming on international press conference saying that he doubts the government's official story as well. And when you have this amount of pressure, you have to face it and come out with some kind of an excuse. And that was actually a benefit for us. And that's what we are trying to do, to bring this information so people from all over the world keep pressuring for answers, and these people will have to face it once and for all.
Anything else, Mike?
That's it, thanks.
And I really think what we're seeing is a planned program of confusion. And of course, they don't talk about the important things, and then they talk over and over and over again about the unimportant things. And those of you who read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, remember we liken what's going on in the world to Agatha Christie's book, The Murder on the Orient Express, and point out what Monsieur Perrault, the detective, said: there are just too many clues. There are too many clues. And they were designed to confuse him, like they're designed to confuse us. Well, William, we've got just 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and I do so much appreciate your being with us.
You waiting for me for so long. My God.
Well, you're very gracious to come on. You've got about 2.5 minutes to wrap up the program. What message would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Very simple, that, you know, 5 years after 9/11, the victims, survivors, the families, everybody is still hurting. It's an open wound. The nation is still wounded. He's still in pain for what happened. And let's not use this as a political agenda. Let's continue investigating. Let's bring the real criminals to justice. And, you know, we need the support for reopening a new investigation. We need to do this. So by this, I just want to bring hope that we can really make a positive change. But we need to be activists, all of us. You know, I find out that only a couple of people are doing the activism out there. We need everybody to get involved. And please support this kind of mission, because this mission really have to do with the tomorrow that you will have for you and your family. So let's continue doing this together, and please support what we're doing.
All right, fine. And again, if you'd like to go to William's website, it's www.911keymaster.com. One question I have is that these new remains that they found, you know, there beneath the manholes, were they in underground tunnels, or were they skeletons? What did they find? Do we have any idea?
Skeletons, bones.
So basically, but how could they have possibly missed them before?
That is the question, and that's why we had a meeting with the mayor's office more than 3 months ago, when they found human remains on the top of the Deutsche Bank, and we told them we needed a special commission to check the areas that were not checked. And you know what they said? It was a unique incident that will not be repeated, and bang, 3 months after, we have this same incident again.
How far away was that bank from the World Trade Center site?
Just on the site.
Yeah.
Just on the border of the site.
I mean, I'm talking about the building now that where they found the
remains. Oh, the Deutsche Bank is right next to the site.
All right, fine. Has that building been condemned? Was it damaged?
It's condemned, and it's been demolished floor by floor.
All right, fine. But that was as a direct result of what happened on 911?
Correct.
All right, fine. Well, God bless you. Thank you very much, William. And maybe we can get you on one of our other programs. We have 3 different audiences every day, but this is one of our best ones. God bless
you.
Thanks very much for being. Bye bye. All right, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed our interview with William Rodriguez. He's a very courageous man who's made a tremendous sacrifice. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with William Rodriguez. I think it's so important that you understand that we've never gotten the true story, that the 911 Commission was set up not to reveal what happened, but to conceal what happened. If you'd like to get our 4-tape set on 911 Update, 2 hours with Jimmy Walters and 2 hours with Paul Thompson, who has written The Terror Timeline, and if you haven't read his book, it is certainly one of the best books we have. The Terror Timeline. And then, of course, we have four videos. Terror Storm by Alex Jones. We have 911, Press for the Truth. It's the story of the Jersey Girls. We have In Plain Sight, by, of course, put out by the Power Hour. And lastly, we have the 9/11, The Day That Changed the World Forever, put out by Dave Wagner. Now, that is available only in DVD at the present time. But it is a powerful movie, and it really tells you the truth. It has a clip in there, which is a very important clip. Because it's a clip that was taken on the 14th of September, 3 days after the 9/11 attack in Washington, D.C., where there's an emergency meeting of the Council on Foreign Relations, and Gary Hart is saying, well, you know, this, speaking of 9/11, may be the opportunity, give the President the opportunity to carry out the program that his father talked about on, I think, only one time, and that is a new world order. In other words, the tragedy of what happened that day would bring about the new world order, but that's what it was all about. And all the draconian laws that they're passing are so they can establish their dictatorship and take America into this one world dictatorship. What is so interesting about that clip is, if you get the transcript, which we have, of the meeting that was held that day, the statement was never made. In other words, somebody's gone in and altered the transcript. And, of course, if you go up on the Internet and you try to get so many of the sites that, you know, do tell you the truth about what happened, so many of them are just not available. We saw this time and time again. Immediately after 9/11, somebody, and I don't think it was Osama bin Laden, was going up and pulling sites down off the Internet to conceal the truth from the American people. Let me suggest, of course, the book See No Evil by former CIA agent Robert Baer, that quotes one of the highest ranking CIA officials saying, when the smoke finally settles after 9/11, the American people will realize that it was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. When the smoke finally settles, the American people will realize 9/11 was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. 3,000 Americans were dead. It was a triumph. You got to read this. This isn't actually the preface to the book, See No Evil, but you're never going to hear this mentioned. You need to get our pamphlets on 9/11 for prior knowledge, the compilation of my newsletters. They're important that you have the information and can help us get it out across America. And if we don't understand what happened on 9/11, we're going to be plunged into a war with Iran from which there will be no recovery. There will be destruction of the value of our currency, the destruction of the value of your savings, of your pension, of everything you have, and we will be living in a totalitarian society. You can help. You can get the facts. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. We've got all sorts of books and videos. But understand what's behind this. There are spiritual forces. There are supernatural forces. It has always been planned that there would be a world government under the rule of the Antichrist. The devil is not imaginary. He's alive and well and working in the hearts and minds and organizations right here in America. If you don't doubt that, you need to get the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They sold their souls, and rock and roll deals with the music industry, but the same thing's happening every place else. In the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions, the video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, help us get the truth out across America while we still have time, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our number 1-800-544-8927.